Blog Talk Radio.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them. Here I am.
Here I am.
Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Well, this is Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders International, and I thank God for everyone that has called in over the phone lines, and I thank God for all our internet listeners. Please continue to listen to the music, and I will return.
Oh,
Glory to God. We have to truly give ourselves to God so he can truly use us and use our life. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is Evangelist Hannah with Kingdom Builders International. And again, thank you for tuning in for another broadcast. Thank you for everyone that has called in on the line. And for all internet listeners, glory to God. Tonight we have an awesome man of God. Glory be to God, is truly led by the Spirit of the Lord. Elder Melvin Peoples will be our speaker tonight. Elder Peoples, are you on the line?
Yes, Evangelist Hannah. God bless you. How are you?
God bless you also, and all is well with me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. And us. So, Elder, I turn the
mic
over to you now.
Thank you, Evangelist Hannah. I do thank and praise God for this wonderful opportunity to share the word of the Lord. As always, I do say it is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed, because his compassions fail not, and they are renewed each morning, and great is thy faithfulness. I'm thanking God for health and for strength and for a sound mind. Amen. A mind that, by the grace of God, is rooted in Christ, our Savior. I do highly anticipate and look forward to this opportunity to share in the word of the Lord. And I do want to thank you personally for making this opportunity available. Praise God for the work that you're doing. I know that you've been under some attacks by the enemy, but he's mad. And he's going to be mad, praise the Lord, because you're holding up the banner, amen, in an attempt to make known the revelation of Jesus Christ to a dying world, amen. So we're grateful for you and your support, amen, and for the thing that you are doing by the grace of God. So tonight we want to not prolong the hour. We want to get into the word of the Lord. And I'm going to be speaking concerning a subject that I think is very, very important in the body of Christ in these last days in which we are living in and striving against the enemy. And I think that it's very important that we seek out the truth of God and strive to maintain his purpose and his calling in our lives. And we want to tonight look at some very familiar passages. We'll use it as foundational passages in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And we will take our subject from those passages. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And verse 6 says, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Father, in Jesus' name, breathe upon your word and bless it right now. for I can do nothing without you, and I thank you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. From those passages of Scripture, I want to use for a subject tonight, erroneous expectations. Erroneous expectations. When we talk about something being erroneous, it deals with at least three general categories, I would say. It deals with deception, which is dishonesty. It deals with misinterpretations, and we're talking about, of course, the Scriptures, and also misinformation. It is actually to supply with false or misleading information. And erroneous expectations basically began in the Genesis of account in the Garden of Eden in the dialogue between Eve and Satan. And, of course, we would be amiss if we did not recognize that Satan is actually the author of the original deception or erroneous expectation. He was able to seduce Eve into believing that God was holding something back. In verse number 5, where he says that, for God knows that if you do in the day that you eat, your eyes are going to be open. So he convinced her that God was holding something back, and that she would gain precious information if she would be willing to eat, and she would enhance her human experience. You see, Satan promised that, number one, her eyes would be open. Number two, she would know good and evil. And then she would, number three, be like God. And what she thought would be a promotion was, in reality, the beginning of spiritual decline or spiritual declension, and ultimately expulsion from the garden and a curse upon all humanity until the sacrifice of Christ. The erroneous idea that God is holding back is the subliminal message that is projected into the minds of the masses and keeps millions of people from surrendering their lives to Christ. If you talk to people about being saved, many of them will say, well, you know, I want to live my life. They've been made to believe that being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and walking with God is something that is depriving and something that is hindering them from experiencing life to the fullest. And so the enemy's job is to make people believe that a relationship with God is one whereby you're going to be deprived of some of the freedoms of life and the ability to enjoy life to the fullest. Amen. So, and let me say this, that's the erroneous idea, and that is the subliminal message that is projected into the minds of the masses of people. It keeps millions of people from surrendering to Christ. Amen. And unfortunately, in many sectors of the church, these erroneous ideas are institutionalized through religious leaders and, you know, people who are making Christ appear to be some type of a burden, amen, upon humanity. But the reality is, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in this lesson, what we hope to do, we hope to address four erroneous areas of expectation which affect and plague the church. Number one is the idea is that believers, amen, should be wealthy in the world's assets. Secondarily, we will possibly talk about the deification of man and the infallibility of leadership. And thirdly, expectations of faith versus God's sovereignty. And number four, does God want us to suffer? Amen. So when we talk about erroneous, we're talking about wandering or contained or something that's characterized by error or mistake. When we talk about expectations, it deals with the product of probability that an event will occur and the amount to be received if it does. Right now, brothers and sisters, we are living in probably the most spiritually contradictory time in the history of the church. And some of you are going to say, well, how so? Because of the great advances that we have in mass communications, whether it be internet, radio, television, internet satellites, many people around the world are hearing for the first time the message of Christ. There are more Christian broadcasts than ever before, and many of them appeal to a global audience. But unfortunately, with the great boon in telecommunications, it also opened up the airways to many dangerous and erroneous, that is, non-biblical teachings. Most of us, when we were new converts, if you were like me, if you were a babe in Christ, we had this great zeal for knowledge and information concerning our new faith in Christ. And if you were like me, you would read anything, you would go anywhere, and you would listen to anyone who said Jesus. And then we were bombarded with information, and we get bombarded with advice. Some of it's good and sound, and some of it is bad and erroneous. And upon this information, we build our spiritual foundation. This information, as I said, good or bad, in many cases is reinforced by members and authority of the local spiritual community in our larger governing bodies. Those foundational teachings were deeply planted into the core of our spiritual being and our psyche, and upon them we build our expectations of God and the faith walk. Praise the Lord. If they're good and sound, we continue in them. But if they are erroneous, we must put them away. Now, when we talk about erroneous expectation, let me say this. There are four common errors that lead to erroneous expectation. When we are studying the scriptures, we must begin with what I call the five W's. Who's talking? Who are they talking about? For example, if Isaiah would say the word you in his writings, he would be talking to Israel. But if the writer in Ephesians says you of the Apostle Paul, he would be talking to the church. Praise the Lord. So it's who, what, when, where, and why. There are three categories of people that the scriptures address. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, and the church of God. Amen. There's dispensational concerns, covenant concerns, concerns of administration. Amen. And so it's very important that we understand how easy it is to develop erroneous expectations. Many times we spiritualize passages in the Bible needlessly. Then there's the issue of inspiration. Who's talking? Amen. Is it the word of God? Is it established by the mouth of two or three witnesses? Is it the human spirit? Is it man talking from his spirit? Or is it Satan himself speaking through a human? Praise the Lord. And so it's very important that we understand these common errors that will lead to erroneous expectations. And my desire is that we would give everything that we have been taught a second look. Amen. And that we would see God. Because many times, brothers and sisters, we have been bound by denominational barriers. We've been bound by denominational teachings and instructions that hinder the body of Christ from coming together in a unified capacity. Praise the Lord. It's very important that when we discover these erroneous teachings and these erroneous expectations, that we must expose them and destroy them. Because most erroneous expectations, brothers and sisters, have been nurtured generationally. They have become institutionalized in our thinking. Amen. Because of the deep-rooted nature, it's important that these things must be rooted out. Sometimes you can't place the truth on top of some of these erroneous things because they have a deep root and they must be plucked up. Amen. And sometimes it's a very meticulous and a calculated process. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it may even take the support of history and archaeology and in some cases even science. Think about the words of Jeremiah. Amen. The Lord speaking to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord put his hands, amen, out and touched the mouth of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Amen. And that's very important because what comes out of our mouth should be what God puts in our mouth. Amen. That should be our aim. If we're going to have sound doctrine, if we're going to have a solid foundation of which we are able to build upon. The Lord goes on to say to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:10, he says, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and then at the end he says to build and to plant. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we must perform spiritual demolition on false doctrine, on erroneous expectations which are not founded in the scriptures. Unfortunately, today, the church's biggest mistake is having a build, build, build mentality with very little rooting out or pulling down or destroying or throwing down. A great amount of our growth is false growth because we have a mega mentality. The goal of the church is not growth, but birth. You must be born again. We have, in many cases, in many places, a mindset, come as you are, stay as you are. Many babes are still stuck in the womb because there are no spiritual midwives available. Amen. But the Lord told Jeremiah, you got to root it out. You got to pull it down. You got to destroy it. You got to throw it down. Then you can build and then you can plant. And Paul picks up that same attitude in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and verse 4, rather. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. And notice the language. He said, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And he says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. By being obedient to Christ, it frees the church to subdue all the enemies of Christ. Praise the Lord. Today we are built on so many erroneous expectations. Amen. Some of the more common expectations, amen, is that all the believers in Christ should be materially and monetarily wealthy in this world. Amen. To me, now this is me talking. If that was the only way that God could show himself to be God is by making everybody wealthy, that would be very, very limited. Because it would be based on natural resources. Amen. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. In the Bible, in the New Testament, everywhere it speaks of worldly riches, it comes with a warning. Amen. So it's important that we understand as believers, because there are many brothers and sisters today who are suffering around the world greatly. Amen. Born again believers filled with the Holy Ghost, suffering for the cause of Christ, and they struggle on a daily basis to even have a meal. Doesn't mean that God is not faithful. Amen. The message of wealth and prosperity is a message that's basically confined to the American Christian movement as well as the European movement. But when you go to the more underdeveloped countries, they are more covetous for spiritual gifts. And Paul said to the church, desire spiritual gifts. And so we find that one of the more erroneous expectations that is has robbed brothers and sisters of their faith and in many cases caused them to err has been the idea that we should all be wealthy. Praise the Lord. Notice what the proverb says. 18:10 and 18:11. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. But in verse 11, he says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. And like a high wall, it is on esteem. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. But the rich man's wealth is his strong city. Think about that. If all we have is wealth, it doesn't give us everything that God has. It's very temporal. It has the ability to take the wings of an eagle and fly away. I just read on the internet just yesterday that Whitney Houston had $100 million at one point. But Whitney Houston, as of late, if this story is accurate, was trying to borrow $100 from someone. It took the wings of a morning and it flew away, or the wings of an eagle. And it's not the best that God has. And when the church begins to project the notion that wealth and prosperity is the best that God has to offer, it is a message of declension. It is a declining message, because Jesus said, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. He came to give us eternal life. And if I suffer every day of my life, if I have a grave as demeaning as the grave of Lazarus and have eternal life, I have more than all the world can offer. Praise the Lord. And Jesus taught us not to trust in uncertain riches. Jesus nor his followers gained uncommon wealth after following him. How often was wealth an impediment when Jesus encountered individuals? There are some people that teach that Jesus was rich and wealthy during his earthly ministry. He became poor that we might become rich. Not rich in the world's assets, not rich in diamonds and gold and silver and houses and land, not rich in those things, but rich in the things of eternity. Praise the Lord. It would have been hypocritical for Jesus, amen, to be wealthy and rich and then encounter a rich young ruler and tell him he needs to unload all of his wealth and follow him. Praise the Lord. So very important, my brothers and sisters, that we understand this. Hallelujah. The early church, the apostles, were even had some erroneous expectations about Christ's purpose. Amen. And in the book of Acts chapter 1, they came to Jesus. They came to the apostles on occasion, and they wanted to know, was the Lord restoring the kingdom at that time? Was he restoring Israel to this place of status? Amen. And they were concerned. They wanted to know what's happening with us. Amen. And the apostle lets them know. He says that for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not after many days. And he says to them that the Lord will, when the time is right, restore the kingdom of Israel. But at that time, it was not the time. Praise the Lord. And he says that it was not for you to know the times or the seasons, amen, which the Father has put into his own hands. Hallelujah. And so there's this erroneous expectation that if you're not wealthy, there's something wrong with your faith. Fine brothers and sisters all over the world, amen, are going into sanctuaries and they're made to feel inferior because they don't have money. The Apostle Paul, a man whom God knocked down on Damascus Road, a man who thrived in Israel, one of the primary teachers, a man taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of Pharisee of the stock of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day, amen. And he had wealth, he had notoriety, but he said, I count it all as dung that I might obtain the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So we are concerned about wealth and prosperity. And I'm not saying, brothers and sisters, that we don't, many of us don't have wealth and prosperity. But that's secondary to what God has given us. The Holy Ghost is the best God had to give humanity. Praise the Lord. It was the best. When he sent back the Comforter in his name, when he gave you the Holy Spirit, he sealed you to the day of redemption with what he called the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Ghost in you is eternal life. What would it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. Praise the Lord. The soul is the only real asset that you have. Read it. The language says, what would it profit a man to gain the world and lose his own soul? You don't own the house. You don't own the car. You don't own the boat. You don't own the bank account. You don't own the diamonds and the riches. It's only for a season, but my soul is forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Very important, brothers and sisters. Very important. We must understand that as children of God, as sons of God, we must internalize the fact that we exist in dual dimensions. We are rich and wealthy in ways far exceeding the terrestrial limitations of this world because we have not valued those things. We love this present world more. Praise the Lord. On one occasion, the Apostle Paul had to write in 2 Timothy. He wrote to Timothy to get Timothy to come to him quickly. He said, Timothy, come to me quickly. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, has departed for Thessalonica. Demas was one that was walking hand in hand with the Apostle Paul. But because he loved the world more, he forsook Christ. If we have allowed wealth and prosperity to become our gods, what will we do when those things are taken away? What will we do? Will we go back on the Lord? Will we lose our faith? And many brothers and sisters have year after year after year after year been believing God that they're going to get this great financial and this wealth prosperity windfall, and it hasn't happened, and they're losing their confidence. And it's unfortunate because God has given us everything that he's promised us. Praise the Lord. He's given us grace. He's given us health and strength. And when our health is challenged, he gives us more grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice what Paul says to the early church in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 through 11. He says, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, see slavery in ancient times has always been a inconvenience to those who are under bondage. But the apostle teaches that he's not trying to necessarily tell them to uprise and overthrow the system. He says, don't despise your masters, and especially the ones that are believing masters. He said, because they're brethren. He said, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. And he said, teach and exhort these things. And he says, if anybody teaches otherwise, he does not consent to sound doctrine or wholesome words, even words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which apostle says he is proud, knowing nothing, but obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, and revelings, and evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. He says, from such withdraw yourself, because godliness with contentment is great gain. The Apostle Paul on one occasion talked about it. He said, you know, I'm able to be abased. That is, I'm able to be brought low. I'm able to be impoverished. He said, but I'm also able to abound. And he went on to say, whatsoever condition you find yourself in, therewith be content, my brothers and sisters. We must find contentment in every circumstance, spiritually and naturally, that God allows us to fall into. Because there is something that God is trying to teach us. There's something that we need to learn. Amen. Some of us are very, very rough on the edges. And in plain, simple language, everybody's not destined to have the same experience. In my fleshly, carnal mind, if all God did was make people rich in the ways of wealth and human and natural creature comforts, that would really be a very, very limiting manifestation of God. But when God got somebody going through sickness, and they got the highest praise and honor, and he's got somebody over here that maybe is doing quite well and prospering in materialism, but yet they have a benevolent giving spirit, God is wise enough to manifest himself to us in a way that he can get the best results out of us. Praise the Lord. And sometimes it takes pressure to produce what God wants in us, brothers and sisters. Job was a man that went through a lot of things. Many of us are familiar with his story. Job was sick. He had boils on his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His friends were dumbfounded to the point where they couldn't speak. They could only sit with him at times. And Job had some complaints because he was built up with this erroneous expectation that God does not allow the hand of suffering and pain and affliction and poverty to touch the life of his chosen children. And this book of Job opens with saying Job was an upright man, one that feared God and hated evil. But God allowed Job, by the temptation and the trial of the enemy, to lose his children, to lose his wealth, to lose his reputation, to lose his honor. And Job got to the place where he had some complaints. But when God got Job to the place where Job received the divine revelation from God, Job's words were, Lord, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. And many of us have heard of God by the hearing of the ear, but Job went on to say, but now mine eye seeth thee. He said, I see who you are. I know what you're about. I understand what you're trying to do. And I hate myself, Job said. And I go down in sackcloth and ashes, because God is wiser than us. Amen. The devil wants to play mind games. He wants to pump us up with erroneous expectations. He wants to make us believe that God is holding something back because we're not where we think we ought to be, doing what we think we ought to do, prospering the way we think we ought to prosper. But Job came to the revelation. Praise the Lord. He came to the revelation that God was all wise, all knowing, and knew things about him, praise the Lord, that no one else could know. And the church is continually, amen, spewing out in many places and in many sectors The idea that if you're not wealthy, and if you're not financially prospering, something's wrong with your faith. Don't buy into that lie, my brothers and sisters. And in many cases, that teaching prospers only a handful. Amen. I'm not against giving to the purpose of God, but I'm all about being led by the Spirit of God in everything we do. Amen. I read a story, amen, on CNBC several years ago, and it was a situation where a church had been swindled out of $450 million. These were spiritually gullible brothers and sisters, amen, who had erroneous expectations about wealth and prosperity, amen. But what happened was the leaders were telling them that they were investing this $450 million in African diamond mines. Praise the Lord. Of course, their hopes were shattered. One IRS agent said that more money is stolen in the name of God than in any organized crime or anything else that's out there. Praise the Lord. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 7, he says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, having food and clothing, with these we should be content. But those who desire to be rich, you don't hear that preached too often nowadays. He said, those that are desiring to be rich, those who have a passion for wealth and prosperity, amen. He said they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root to all evil. And some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Every time somebody takes the pulpit, they ought not be talking about money. I hope I'm not stepping on somebody's toes out there, but if I do, your toes will heal. Praise the Lord. The love of money is the root to all evil. He says, and then because of that, they stray from the faith and pierce themselves through with many. So how many times have we seen that, brothers and sisters, in the news? He says, but you, O man of God, or woman of God, you, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Don't get trapped, brothers and sisters. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear and tell you something is wrong with you because you're struggling to pay your bills or because you're not seeing the prosperity that others appear to be seeing. You don't know what they're doing to get their money. Praise the Lord. You don't know. Sometimes people got three jobs. Ain't got time to pray. Ain't got time to read. And I'm not against hardworking people. But my point is, don't be deceived. For God is not mocked for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to your flesh, you shall reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you reap life eternal. Praise the Lord. Brother James says to the church, James chapter 2, verse 5, he said, listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Amen. There's no crime in being poor. There's no crime in living in the projects. There is no crime in having lack and having needs. Praise the Lord. None whatsoever. That's not to say we should not strive to better ourselves. That's not to say that we should not educate ourselves. We want to do better. But sometimes, at least in various seasons of life, it's just not in the cards. Amen. St. Paul tells the church at Colossae, he says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. truth. The devil can't touch the real me. He can touch my flesh, but he can't touch the real me because my life is hidden with God in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. You can shout now. Praise the Lord. God has got you in his plan. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not saved of God. Amen. We don't measure ourselves by ourselves. I'm a child of God. I've been born again and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And I don't feel deprived one bit by what is out here in the world. I have a personal desire to travel around the world and to see places I've only read about. But I'm also have enough insight by the grace of God to know if it does not happen, I'm not deprived because I'll be able to travel from earth to glory with a glorified body in a renovated earth, one that has no hate, no poverty, no wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If we've risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Hallelujah. One of the other erroneous expectations that we're talking about is the deification of man. Praise the Lord. The apostles were very, very diligent, my brothers and sisters, about not allowing people to pump them up and to make them to be more than what they were. I don't think we do enough of that in the body of Christ. I think in many cases we have sometimes leadership who is basking in the glory of adoration of men. Men and women who adore them, and they don't understand the importance of not allowing that to take place by addressing it when it happens. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostle says, "Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Amen. We cannot allow ourselves in our erroneous desires to find ourselves looking at our leadership from a cultic perspective. We're not cult members. Everybody has a tendency to be a failure and has shortcomings. We must not see men of God as perfect creatures. The apostle says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. We must be faithful to our stewardship. We don't have to be faithful to the church. We don't have to be faithful to the organization. We don't have to be faithful to individuals. We must be faithful to the stewardship that Christ placed in us. Because many times those things can be misleading and deceptive. But the apostle says it's a very small thing that I should be judged from you or man's judgment. He said, yeah, I judge not my own self. He said, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, he says, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brothers, he says, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. And he goes on to say, for who made you different? Who made you different from another? And he said, what do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? If you are gifted and anointed by God to do something, you have no right to glory or to boast because you received the gift from God. It wasn't a gift of your own manufacturing. It wasn't a gift that you made or created. You weren't born with it. It was a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And the apostle goes on to talk about it in Acts chapter 14 and 8. There was a certain man who didn't have strength in his feet. He was sitting. He was a crippled man from his mother's womb, and this man had never walked. This man, when he heard Paul speaking, he was observing him, and Paul seeing that he had faith to be healed, Notice the spiritual synchronization here. Many times when God performs the miraculous, there's some spiritual synchronization. There are people who are ready to ripen, ready for the miracle. And then God will use us to bring it out of the spiritual birth canal. It's like I said earlier in this message about we need spiritual midwives. Praise the Lord. Because there are a lot of things that God wants to do, but they're stuck in the birth canal because we need spiritual people who are sold out to Christ to usher those things in. And Paul says to this man, he says, stand up on your feet. And the man leaped up and walked. Now this man was crippled. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices. And they said, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Now the apostles didn't appreciate that, because they knew that that was very erroneous. We've got men today that, unfortunately, would have taken advantage of that and saw it as an opportunity to pat themselves on the back and talk about their great spiritual ability and their great connection with God. But when Paul saw that these men were trying to make them gods, he and Barnabas, they thought that Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was Hermes. Amen. The apostles tore their clothes off of them and ran in among those people crying out. Paul and Barnabas, they tore their clothes off. In a act of contrition, in an act of I can't believe what y'all doing up in here. And they said, men, why are you doing these things? He said, we are men just like you. We got the same nature you have. We preach to you that you should turn from these useless, vain things to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all the things that are in them, who in the past generation allowed all nations to walk in their own way. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness. In that he did good, he gave them rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing them. With all that the apostles said to deter these people, they were still trying to acknowledge these men as some type of special gods. Brothers and sisters, we have many, many erroneous conditions that exist in the body of Christ. We're not perfect. We are striving, praise the Lord. We're striving for that place. And we must understand that God is very much concerned about where we are. I don't know how you feel about the historical location of the church. I personally believe, based on my biblical studies, that we are the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church was one that sought after wealth and riches at the expense of their spirituality, at the expense of the manifestations of the power of God. And because of that, we have to really, really be careful that we don't fall victim to erroneous ideas. Amen. And we must understand that because we have faith, one of the other erroneous expectations, that because we have faith, we must understand that God is still sovereign, supreme rule. For example, no one will ever convince me that Paul the apostle didn't have faith to be delivered from the condition of the thorn that was in his flesh. There's been a lot of historical debate about what that thorn was. So there's no doubt about the man's ability to have the faith to be healed, if that was the condition of his body. But we must understand that God is sovereign. He is the supreme rule over all things. Sometimes, even though you may have faith to receive something from God, he just simply says no. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talked about how he said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. Now this man understood that God was making him to know by revelation there was this great propensity in him to get lifted up. He didn't realize it. And And so in an act of divine movement, God had to do what he did with Paul to keep him in the place he needed to be. And thank God Paul appreciated. He says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. It was, notice his language. He said, it was given to me. The man recognized, even though it was in some type of affliction, it was a gift. He said, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, concerning this thing, I pleaded, I sought the Lord three times. I sought God three times in this matter that it might be removed. And finally, the Lord spoke to him, and you know what he told him? He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. He said, in my reproaches and in my needs. Praise the Lord. So very important. My brothers and sisters, I want to thank you tonight for listening into this Bible study. And I hope that you have gotten something out of it. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to close out. God bless you for being an attentive listener. Thank you very much.
Glory to God. What a word, man of God. What a word, man of God.
Thank you, sir. Truly, truly need
to hear, need to meditate on. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, what a word, man of God.
Thank you, sis. God bless you.
Thank you for allowing God to use you to pour out to his people. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. At this time, I'm going to open up the lines for comments or testimonies. Glory to God. The lines are now open. Can you please state your name and where you're calling from if you have a comment or a testimony or a prayer request? Glory to God. And if you have noise in your background, can you please mute your phone? Glory to God. Thank you, God, for such an awesome, awesome word. Glory to God.
Amen, Evangelist Hannah. This is Prophetess Teresa. And I just want to thank God for allowing elder people to just come forth with power and the anointing that only God can give. And the lines are filled. And I know as I was blessed, I know that others were blessed as well. And I just want to thank you, elder peoples, for just sacrificing and giving of yourself to soul and to God's people.
Thank you very much.
We have some listeners on the line that are in turning points in their lives. And I just thank God we have some first-timers on the line. And I am truly blessed that they called in from the Michigan area. I'm just blessed that they took the time to just call in and listen in. And I know that they called in to an awesome word that came directly from the throne of God. So I just want to just thank you. Just thank you for just sacrificing to give to God's people what we need.
Thank you, sis. Keep me in your prayers. That God will continue to bless and open doors. God bless you. Love you much.
God bless you, too.
Thank you.
Glory to God. Any more comments, testimony, prayer requests? I just praise and thank God that I'm able to be on the line tonight. As the elder had said earlier, that I have been going through some spiritual attacks, but it's all well because I'm a fighter and we have to fight back. Glory be to God. And we can't be no punk for the devil because we wasn't no punk when we was out there in the world. So we have to be bold for God. We cannot be no punk to the enemy. And I thank God for the test because it strengthened me. Glory to God. And I just thank him and I just praise him and I just honor him. And I just thank him for every breath that I breathe, knowing that his breath is breathing through me. Glory be to God. And hallelujah, Jesus. So if there's no more, if there's not any comments, we're going to do the salvation call now.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hey, this is Sister Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
I just want to make a comment. I haven't been able to call in, you know, normally, but I was able to call in tonight, and that was a word that I definitely needed to hear. I've been struggling probably like everybody else, and I just want to thank Elder Peoples for even coming forth with that word. I also want to thank him for allowing God to use him to even step onto Blog Talk, you know, because he didn't have to even accept the offer when it was brought to him.
Thank you, sis. God bless you.
I thank you, and I praise God for you. And love you, Dana, Teresa.
Love you,
Tony. God bless you, Tony, Sister Tony.
That was it for me.
Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead on and do the call of salvation, and then I'm going to cover Elder Peoples in prayer. And I just want to thank everyone for calling in. We have callers from North Carolina. We have a caller from California. And some of these area codes I don't know, but excuse me, I don't know those area codes. But I just want to thank you for calling in, and I pray and I know that you were blessed. And also for the listeners that don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sin, you called in and you're hungry. You called in to hear a word. And truly, even though the word came from elder people, the word was sent by God. And I want to just say to you tonight that if you don't know who is the Savior, if you want to know him, even those on the internet, we have the chat room open. And I just want to say, if you want to know him, just repeat after me. It's simple. It's not complex. I thank you for coming down, dear Lord, from heaven and showing us the way. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me on the third day. I realize that I have sinned and that I cannot do it on my own. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I ask for and believe that I receive your grace, favor, and forgive all that I have sinned against you. I ask you, Lord, to wash me in your precious blood that you shed for me at Calvary. Lord, please come into my heart and give me a newness of life. And I now confess Jesus as the Lord of my life, the Savior over all. And I now commit my life to you, Lord. Your loving hands, I commit myself to you. It's just that simple. And if you repeated those words after me, God have accepted you into his kingdom. You're saved. He said if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he have raised Jesus from the dead, thou shall be saved. And I want to encourage all the listeners, if you don't have a Bible and you just need to communicate, go to our website, www.kingdomdaughters.org, and you could click on the tab that says contact. If you don't have a Bible, we'll be more than happy to send you out a Bible if you don't have one. And even we'll send you out an MP3 audio dual pack Bible that you can listen to on your MP3 player. So I just want to encourage you, there's no reason that you can't get the word, because the word has been made available for you. So I want to encourage you to take this opportunity and watch over your soul as the man of God went forth and explained a lot of things in detail. Go back to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. You can listen to the whole broadcast again on demand, and you can listen to it over and over and over again. So I want to encourage you to do so. Just be encouraged and know there's no reason for you to miss heaven. Losing is not an option, because the word that went forth tonight. The angels are rejoicing, and so are we. So God bless you all, and we love you with the love of God. Well, Father God, I thank you for Elder Peoples. Lord God, your man that you have made, Father, I ask you right now, Lord God, that you will replenish, restore, renew everything that he has poured out, Lord God. Father, we thank you for him being faithful to you, Father, and that you are preserving him in all of his ways. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that he would abound in every good blessing that come from you, and that he do not grow weary in well-doing, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, all of the good works that you have started in him, that you will perfect it. And we thank you, Lord God, even for the desires of his heart. Lord God, that you would give him the desires of his heart, because he have delighted himself in you, Lord God. And we decree and declare, and we stand in agreement, that every seed sown that he've given out to the people on the line tonight, Lord God, that you're going to give it back to him, that you're going to replace, replenish, renew, and cover him and his family with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen. Amen. God bless you. And I'm going to turn the lines back over to Evangelist Hannah, if she is available.
Yes, grateful. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I thank God again for everyone that has called in over the phone line and over the internet. And again, Elder Peter, we thank you for the words of the course.
Thank you.
Do you have comments? Any closing comments?
Just thank God for opportunity.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank God for your name of God. We give God all the glory for what he is doing on the Block Talk program. Glory to God, and with Kingdom Builders International. And again, if you would like to sow a seed into Kingdom Builders, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org. And you can make a donation there. It is a secure website. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, again, next month, February the 24th, the man of God will be on again every fourth Friday of the month. And I just thank God again for everyone that has called in and all the internet listeners. And I pray that you was truly blessed also from the teaching. Glory be to God. And we love you, and good night.
God bless you.
God bless.
Keep going!